Former New Zealand Prime Minister Bill English has resigned as leader of the National Party. Mr. English has been an MP for 28 years. He has also quit Parliament. Our Kiwi correspondent Pearl Little from 95BFM joins us now to discuss more. Good morning, Pearl. So, why has Bill English decided to resign?
Well, basically, it's kind of weird. He almost like gave the same reasoning that John Key gave when he stepped down from being Prime Minister towards the end of last... Oh, it wasn't even the end of last year. When was it? Early last year. So he has said that he wants to spend more time with his family. But, I mean, you know, this is the second time that the National Party has lost an election under Bill English. So he's announced that he's going to step down and give his party a chance to regroup from its dramatic fall from quote-unquote parliamentary grace. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be having, you know, some contests to see who will be replacing Bill English. But, I mean, the thing is that when John Key stepped down, it was sort of a natural progression to have Bill English go into that leadership role. He was deputy PM. He's led the National Party before. It all seemed to fit well, but this time it doesn't seem like there's sort of any natural, you know, sort of next leader to take over from Bill English, so that's going to be a bit interesting.
So who are the front runners then?
Well, so there's Paul. I mean, the first one we can talk about is Paula Bennett, who is actually the deputy prime minister, well, deputy leader now. She does sort of seem like the most obvious successor, but apparently there's a lot of among the National Caucus, they're not too sure about her and not too pleased about her performance as deputy. I mean, she made quite a few fumbles during the election cycle at the end of last year, saying things that, like that some criminals don't have human rights, things like that, and things that got National in a lot of hot water. So people are unsure about her. There's Simon Bridges, who I personally think is probably the most likely to get that leadership role. He is. He went up for the contest last time when Bill English took under. He's sort of a newer, fresher face, can sort of take the next generation of the National Party under his wing, and he is sort of quite well liked within the National Party. There's Judith Collins, aka Crusher Collins, who is fiercely competitive and is quite sort of seen as an attack dog, you know, that could really take on Jacinda Ardern as leader of the opposition. She's sort of quite tough. She was the Justice Minister, and she's sort of got a lot of it under her belt. Other honourable mentions, Stephen Joyce, sort of less charismatic. He's the MP that got he was Finance Minister. He got the dildo thrown at him at Waitangi Day 2016. So I don't know if they really want that man fronting their party. There's Amy Adams, who's really competent. She's had really difficult portfolios under Bill English's government. So she sort of looks like she has, you know, the work cut out for her. Jonathan Coleman, selling himself as a generational cap change, but he's not that well liked. And also Mark Mitchell, who's sort of an MP that no one really knows. He only came in the 2014 general election intake, so he's very new to the National Party and definitely doesn't have much experience, as much experience as all the other contenders. But he's pretty tough and he's a big asset. He's a former cop, a dog handler, and he ran a private security company in Iraq. So sort of exactly what, I mean, I guess you could say that's everything that the national voters and the National Party would love. So he still is an option, but it's looking a bit unlikely at this point. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see.
And do you know, I guess, when people will be finding out who is going to take Bill's place?
Well, Bill English is stepping down in only 2 weeks. So it's pretty soon. Yeah. So I think we will be having, I think it's just up to the caucus. It might happen quite fast. It might not. I'm unsure if it'll be announced before Bill steps down officially, before he officially leaves his role, or if it will come after that. But I mean, yeah, he's even quitting Parliament, which is a bit of a big deal. I'm not sure what he's going to do now. He'll probably go something into the private sector, much like John Key did, becoming going on the board of Air New Zealand, so sort of going back to their business roots.
Now, of course, many politicians are lawyers, and we've learned that a leading New Zealand law firm has been hit with some heavy allegations of sexually inappropriate behaviour. What's the story behind this, Pearl?
Well, this is quite interesting because I think it's worth mentioning that a lot of people are saying that the reason that New Zealand sort of hasn't had as much of a Me Too movement these past couple of months is because New Zealand has unusually strict defamation laws. So it's incredibly hard for newspapers, for journalists, for any sort of media to really report on allegations of sexual abuse, allegations of, you know, sexual misconduct as much as, you know, you see in American media and a lot of media in other countries. So that is something really worth mentioning, that it's really hard in New Zealand to report on these things because our defamation laws are so strict. But in saying that, so this is was published by Newsroom, which is an independent sort of media company in New Zealand, and it's confirmed that Russell McVeigh, which is a law firm that has offices both in Auckland and Wellington, has been hit with allegations that basically student interns student interns were victims of sexually inappropriate conduct at Christmas parties almost 2 years ago. So Russell McVeigh is a law firm that has a big student intake program. So especially down in Wellington, with Victoria University, they take in a lot of internships at the end of the year, and then, you know, you sort of can get offered a full-time position. So, I mean, as I mentioned before, these strict laws. So for privacy and legal reasons, the incidents cannot be elaborated on. So we basically don't actually know the facts of what happened, apart from that it was sexually inappropriate misconduct. So it involved two older male lawyers, both of whom no longer work for the company, but one of them does, however, occasionally offer advice to the firm. So basically, they were accused by the student intern who went to the firm, went to HR, Human Relations, to complain, and then also Russell McVeigh told Victoria University about the incidents, Victoria said they were extremely disappointed, adding that the Russell McVeigh staff were genuinely concerned by the allegations, but said that the university was basically not involved in resolving complaints, saying that it was a matter for the police. The police did look at it, but, you know, nothing came from it. Changes have been made at Russell McVeigh to their summer internship program, including basically an alcohol ban. So, you know, the interns can't drink or socialize in that manner with the lawyers at the firm. Five female students declined full-time positions at the law firm after these allegations at the end of the internship. That's basically what happened. I mean, it's kind of hard because we don't know who it was. We don't know really what happened, but yeah, it's sort of, coming to light in this very vague way, basically.
Always disappointing to hear more news of that kind of thing than it is, unfortunately, rather pervasive. We're speaking with our New Zealand correspondent, Pearl Little. Now, the New Zealand First Party wants English to be recognised as the official language of New Zealand. So what's the current official language?
Well, it's quite ridiculous, really. So, basically in New Zealand, as with most countries, official languages are languages that are not widely spoken, but still have some sort of cultural or societal value or, you know, sort of place. So right now in New Zealand, Māori, Te Reo, and New Zealand Sign Language are protected, you know, legally protected languages by the government, so that, you know, they have to be put on signs in some places. You basically have to make an effort to use them. They're protected so they don't die out. So New Zealand First, who is basically notorious for being very protect Pākehā or English culture, have said that they basically want English to become an official language of New Zealand and have the same protected legal rights as Te Reo Māori and as sign language, saying that it should be recognised for its widespread use, which almost doesn't make sense because English is, you know, the first language of many New Zealanders and is so commonplace that you could say it basically doesn't need to be protected because everyone uses it all the time, and it's not like it has much of a cultural value or, you know, sort of any reason it would need to be protected because it's not a dying language, basically, is how I can explain this the best. But yeah, NZ First said that English language is an important part of New Zealand culture, heritage, and everyday communication, which is very contestable. So a petition went to Parliament last year with only, may I say, 6,300 signatures asking for English to be recognised. The statement in New Zealand First said it's used in business, at home, and on the sports field or in the media, which, like, obviously it is. It's the language that everyone speaks. And I think this is really interesting for New Zealand First because, you know, under our government, we've got a coalition with Labour, NZ First and Greens, and this is really sort of a bill and a standpoint that are really going to sort of make New Zealand First butt heads with their coalition partners, who are the Green Party, who, you know, are basically of opinion that this is stupid and pointless, because it is, and also the same thing with Labour. But, I mean, I guess that's how a coalition government works, really. I mean, New Zealand First don't agree with the Green Party's medical marijuana bills. They voted it down in Parliament just a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, the Green Party will most likely be voting this one down. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if National came out in support, if ACT Party came out in support. ACT Party is the sort of offshoot Libertarian Party in New Zealand Parliament. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. But, I mean, I think it's been met with basically dismay because it's such a silly idea.
Yeah, it I'm trying my best not to get fired up over this side of the pond being a Maori woman, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. So yeah, we'll keep our eyes out. So thank you so much for joining us today, Pearl.
Thank you so much.
New Zealand correspondent Pearl Little from 95BFM speaking with us about what's been happening across the Tasman this week.